Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I don't know if you'll remember, but what was the particular point that Srila Prabhupada made at the end of that purport that we read day before yesterday? And he's making the same point here. Any of you recall? Interesting point. Yes, good. At the end of both purports, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that when Lord Shiva understood what had actually happened to him and how it had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead teaching him a good lesson. So, Lord Shiva, in both purports, right at the end, the last sentence of both purports, Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva felt proud to have such a wonderful master. A unique master. There's just nobody like Krishna. So here, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone. Rather, although Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone, when defeated by Lord Vishnu, he felt proud that he had such an exalted and powerful master. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Shiva was already aware of the supreme power of Lord Vishnu. But when Sri Sri Radharadana Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu King. So Srila Prabhupada said here in the previous purport to text 36, Lord Shiva was already aware of the supreme power of Lord Vishnu. But when he was actually put into bewilderment, he felt proud to have such an exalted master. So, in other words, this is a very important point. And don't touch it. This is a very important point. And the fact that Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing it so strongly really reinforces that fact that in Krishna consciousness is not just some dry, impersonal process where we just detach ourselves from material existence and all the different personal aspects of it, like having feelings, having attitudes, and responding in different ways to different situations, different people even responding in different ways to different circumstances, and a whole array, a great array of all sorts of involved personal responses to different situations. And this is what makes everything, this detail and how everything is working, this makes life interesting, even on the material platform. If everyone was the same, if everyone felt the same, thought the same, had the same attitudes, saw everything the same way, responded in the same way to all the same situations, life would become rather dull. If everyone looked like, anyway, any one of you devotees, even though you're very nice, but if everyone looked the same and felt the same and so on and so on, it would really not be very exciting, would it? It would be more or less like the functioning of some sort of strange machine. But actually, everyone is different. In our programs, some of our programs in the universities these days, last few days, the subject was liberation. One subject was liberation. And we were trying to make a point that, about equality. We read that verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 18. How does that begin? Anyway, Pandita Samadarshana, Vidyavanaya Sampane, Ramane Gavi Hastani, Shuri Chaiva Swapake Cha, Pandita Samadarshana. That the pundit, the educated and realized person, or in other words, an advanced devotee, Samadarshana, sees the same, sees equally a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So we're making the point that here in South Africa now there's a whole atmosphere of equality amongst the human beings. Everyone should treat everyone else, human beings, equally, and not make the distinctions that there previously were. These material distinctions, of course, on the material platform, the propensity to make material distinctions and particularly to exaggerate material distinctions and that they may become extremely important in your general world view. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that this arises from the mode of passion. When someone is really fixed in the mode of passion, really strongly under the influence of the mode of passion, then they will be spontaneously prone to see differences and to place great importance on these differences. And of course the main difference is that there is me, and I am the most important, and there's everyone and everything else, and they're less important. That's the main difference. And on that basis one is thinking how to utilize everyone and everything for my sense gratification directly, indirectly, somehow. This is all mode of passion. But on the level of the mode of goodness, then in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes the point that the person is spontaneously prone to see equality more and to not make those big distinctions, and just automatically, due to having that nature, materially. So this is a more advanced level, materially. And spiritually it is there also, as Lord Krishna mentions in that verse in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. However, if we simply try to enforce or impose some sense of material equality in all respects, then this is a type of foolishness actually, and then one will become prone to the mode of ignorance. Because each one of us, materially each one of us, is an individual. None of us are the same size or shape. None of us are the same age exactly. None of us have the same experiences in life, in all respects. None of us have the same attitudes, in all respects, the same likes, the same dislikes, in all respects to the same degrees. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But rather we are all individuals. And even though there may be certain themes which are common, like we are all trying to become Krishna conscious. We all want to chant Hare Krishna. But when we get into the details, we see there's so much individuality, and as a result, everything is, life is interesting, even materially. Of course, in the wrong ways, but still, people become very fascinated and very deeply attached to material existence because certain things are at least superficially a little interesting in terms of their specific details. And in this way, people continue on in material life. So, similarly, in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, the same principle is there. It is not that when we take to Krishna consciousness that we now become, or are trying to become, just totally equipoised in a certain sense, like in terms of our different experiences in life. Of course, when we look at how things are going on the material platform and their implications materially, well, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about that. That he tells Arjuna that you should be unmoved in happiness or distress, gain or loss, victory or defeat, honor or dishonor. On the material platform, these things should not matter to you, because it's all material, and you are not your material body, and even those things, even though those things have so many implications for the material body, but you're not your material body. So these things do not really have implications for you. Therefore, why should you become influenced? But on the spiritual platform, it is not that the devotees then spiritually become unemotional and just very cool about whatever may happen. Spiritually, here, Lord Shiva, he was taught a lesson. What a big lesson he was taught. And in a very graphic way. I don't know if we can, if any of us, as we've been reading through this whole incident, have any of us considered what would it be like if the same thing happened to us? Somehow or other, a member of the opposite sex captures our interest to such an extent that we're literally running around in this way, in front of all the other devotees, just running and running like some wild animal. Yes. So, certainly if that happened, don't sit there thinking, well, it couldn't happen to me. Because if it could happen to Lord Shiva, then don't worry. It could happen to you 100 times, at least. So, if somehow, we had some defect was there within us, we weren't seeing it, Krishna wanted to make us aware and become corrected and become more fixed up spiritually. And therefore he placed us in some extraordinarily embarrassing situation where that fault just became glaringly obvious to everyone. Then that would be very difficult to deal with. But Lord Shiva, because he is so advanced, really, then it was not so difficult. In fact, when he came to his senses, he felt pleased. He felt satisfied. Here, he's described as being unagitated and unashamed. That whatever the different circumstances and other considerations may have been socially, but for me, this was beneficial. And my Lord, my Master, he was so kind as to bring out this important fact about me and to correct me in such a powerful way that it just tore my material attachment out of the roots. all my confusion just put me right so powerfully. So beneficial for me. That's very good. And he felt proud. My master, just see what he can do. What other master could help their servant like that? Others would just pat them on the back and tell them that maybe that it's all right and just try your best. Something like that. In other words, do nothing. But Krishna went right into his heart and just brought out this thing, and just Lord Shiva was benefited greatly. So he felt proud. Oh, what a master I have. He could do such a thing for my benefit. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada here, at the end of both purports, twice, he's making the same point, that Lord Shiva felt proud. He didn't just now sit down and become equipoised, but he felt proud and happy and satisfied that this was very good. Therefore, because Krishna acted so strongly in this situation, and he is in the habit, you could say, of acting strongly when his devotees, if his devotees become bewildered, then he will do the needful without being sentimental or just weakly, soft-hearted. He'll step right in and smash if that is really what is going to be for the best of the devotee. So therefore, in this verse here, Shukadeva Goswami, he refers to Krishna as, what was the name? Say it louder. Madhusudana, yes. We know, of course, first of all, that Krishna has so many names, and all those names, they are in terms of his different qualities. And we know also that in Shastra, or not just in Shastra, but in the various dealings that the devotees have with the Lord, and also in those records in Shastra, that the Lord is frequently addressed differently, with different names, in terms of the particular qualities that he is showing at that point in the pastime. So in this pastime, the Lord was smashing, killing some ungodly quality and purifying Lord Shiva of something, some anatta that he needed to be purified from strongly. So therefore this name, Madhusudana, is used. And we see in Bhagavad Gita the same name is used also in a very similar situation, because Arjuna was in a very similar situation, that he became bewildered in his own way, in some other way, but he became bewildered. And there in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna refers to those doubts of Arjuna as demons. So he slashed them. He cut them to pieces. He killed those demons of doubt. So therefore we find also, at least one time, perhaps more even, in Bhagavad Gita, at least there's certainly one time right at the beginning, that Lord Krishna is referred to also as Madhusudana. And Srila Prabhupada makes the same point there, that as Madhusudana, Krishna killed this great demon, the Madhu demon, right at the beginning of the universe. Madhu and Kaitava, they were the first demons, and they were exceptionally powerful, challenging Lord Brahma himself. So the Lord came and killed them both. So this is a very classic incident of the Lord killing demons. Therefore, he's addressed with that name. In such situations, where he destroys some demon. So here with Lord Shiva, Krishna has done that. And also there with Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna did the same thing. He told Arjuna that you, armed with yoga, you stand and fight. Don't let these doubts get the better of you. And then Lord Krishna, he smashed and killed those doubts dead. So he's referred to as Madhusudana. In those types of situations. Yes, this is the Lord's kindness to the devotees. Whatever the Lord does, actually, to his devotees, it's always his kindness. And one of the great challenges that we have on our levels, we are sort of going through very similar things in many ways, although we may not be on exactly the same levels, but there are great similarities. So, one of the great challenges on our levels is to learn how to understand that whatever Krishna does, whatever he arranges in our lives, whatever he puts us through, actually it's for our benefit in Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's very easy to see things in that way when Krishna arranges something which, according to our standards, our perceptions, is very nice. We have a very successful day doing whatever, some service. We distribute lots of books, collect lots of Lakshmi. Something like this. Then it's very easy to feel. Naturally one will feel, oh, Krishna was very kind. Of course, if you're on a little lower level, then even that may become a challenge. To see if there are good things which happen in your life. To see them as Krishna, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's special arrangement. If one is a little more on the material platform, and if good things happen, you distribute a lot of books or something like that, there's some success, then the challenge may be how to get out of the habit of thinking that, just see, it's me. See how clever I am. I did very nicely. I'm very qualified. So, Krishna often addresses that anatha by letting us fail the next day or shortly thereafter. Then that's not so much fun. But anyway, this is one of the great challenges for the devotees. And we can see Lord Shiva, he's past that. He's more advanced than that. That even though there was such a terrible, what an experience he went through, and made to look like a complete fool. Terrible fool. In front of all these saintly persons who normally would respect him so much. But now they see him acting like, just practically like an animal. But still at the end, he's completely fixed that this was the mercy of my master. What great mercy I got. What a wonderful master I have. So for us, this is one of those challenges then. How? When there's some difficulty in our lives, some obstacles, some problems, and we are experiencing some pain and anxiety as a result, but how to see this as the mercy of the Lord, and not that he is somehow imposing on us or hurting us, disadvantaging us. Someone told me yesterday, one devotee told me, that they have now twice asked for recommendation for initiation and twice been refused or told that they're not really qualified for a recommendation. And the devotee said that they were feeling like losing faith. So this is that same challenge. At least one version of the same challenge. So we have to learn how to come to that platform where we actually see the fact that whatever Krishna is arranging, that is for my benefit, it's for my good. So if I can accept it like that, then I will reap that benefit so quickly. So Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, in regard to Lord Shiva, but we can apply the principle to ourselves, whatever that he is able to relate with these situations, even very sort of ghastly situations from a personal point of view, but to react very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So nicely. And therefore he's able to nicely feel this. It's a very high emotion and not an easy emotion perhaps for a devotee to have sometimes. But he is able to feel proud in Krishna consciousness. If we're not able to deal with these situations and remain Krishna conscious, then when it comes to pride, if we experience some pride, generally it will be that other type of pride. If we feel some envy, generally it will be that other type of envy, not that very exalted spiritual envy or spiritual pride or spiritual greed, spiritual lust even, Prabhupada talks about. So enthusiastic, so keen, so desirous to serve Krishna that from a certain perspective it looks something like lust that we've seen so often within this material world. So before we can experience these advanced emotions, then we have to become a little advanced, particularly in dealing with these types of things which may reflect on us in terms of our material conceptions of ourselves and our materially tinged aspirations in Krishna consciousness. And gradually as we become freed from those lower tendencies, then these higher spiritual emotions like Lord Shiva's transcendental pride here, then they may start to manifest more. Any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.